Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Monday, November 12th, 2018. Today is the observation of Veterans Day in the United States. So if you're a veteran, we thank you for your service. And today we want to talk about a couple of topics. And with me to do so, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, back here on a Monday.
Bright and early for us. But we are going to also include someone for whom it is the afternoon, and that is Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Happy Monday. How are you?
Not too bad. How about you?
Yeah, good, good, good. All good over here.
Excellent. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was, Andrew, something you wrote about this morning, which is a password manager that's gone through a security review and what they found. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the password manager is Bitwarden. It's open source, which is pretty nice. And what is pretty routine for open source software is to go through what's called a security audit, which is basically when other security researchers and companies will look at the software, make sure that there aren't any flaws. They test the security of it and, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So Bitwarden, the company that did it is called Cure53. And during the audit, they found 5 vulnerabilities. Only one of them was critical, though. So all in all, the audit was pretty positive.
Nice. Now, one thing that I think is always interesting, because it sounds counterintuitive at first, is that lots of security-related software, whether it's a password manager or virus protection sorts of things or malware detection, things like that, a lot of the ones, and I know this sounds funny, but a lot of them will sort of open up you know, how their software works, even if it's closed source. It doesn't necessarily have to be an open source project. They will like publish, you know, this is how we do what it is that we do. And they do that in order to invite people to find holes, in order to see, to make sure that what they're doing is secure and what they're doing is solid. Because you certainly don't want a password manager that allows somebody else to get into it one way or another. So, you know, a lot of this security sort of software, you want to make sure that it's locked down in the way it needs to be. And one of the ways to do that is through these sort of reviews. And there are, I know a number of other like password managers and, like I said, you know, malware and virus protection, where they're very open about what it is they do and how they go about it to protect your data on your computer. And they do that to make sure that it's very clear what they're doing. Now, that doesn't make it hackable, which is the thing that I think I get a lot of questions about this, I guess is what I'm saying. And people ask, you know, something like this in particular, like when they do a security review, like how exactly does that work? Well, they've got everything out there in the open. You can see what it is and how it works. But what happens, you know, if you can see, for example, that it's, what they're doing is generating a 128-bit string of characters, and that thing is the thing that locks your data away. It's very easy to see that that's what they're doing. That doesn't mean that you can go take 128-bit strings of characters and start firing them at password managers and see if you can get in, because it's going to take forever, and you're never going to get there. And so that's sort of where it seems like the hurdle is coming from. Now, have you spent time with other security audits? I know you just wrote this one up, but have you seen more from other places?
Not recently. So I have written a couple articles about open source apps before, though. And yeah, so for listeners, an advantage of open source is that anyone can look at the code, like Kelly was saying, which means that if someone tries to put something bad in there, like something sneaky, everyone else who's looking at that will find it and be able to stop it. Mm-hmm. And if software is closed source, only the people who made the app can see it, which means that at any time it's possible for them to, you know, put some sneaky stuff in there and no one would be able to know.
Mm-hmm. But even like a closed source password manager, like 1Password or LastPass or who's the other one I'm thinking of? Is it Dashlane? They all publish the hows of what their software does and how they keep your data safe. And they are upfront and obvious about that in order to make sure people know this is what it's doing. This is, you know, this is how it's safe. Charlotte, do you spend a lot of time with security software? Most people don't, so I'm not going to be surprised if your answer is no.
Well, I've covered quite a lot of security and quite a lot of security firms. And what I really particularly like about this story is the element of transparency that Andrew is talking about, because I've spoken to firms in the past, some of whom are really open and kind of just take the philosophy of wanting to make the world a safer place, if you like, and others who think they have some really high-end proprietary software and want to keep that to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think personally, I've always thought sunlight is the best disinfectant. I understand completely why firms have to protect proprietary important, but something like this, having open source software, having public audits, I think is really important. We've mm-hmm. seen with not direct security firms what can happen when non-secure elements are put in and people can't see them and users don't really know what's there. And I think having this kind of transparency, like I say, I think is a really big step forward.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think as technology gets more ubiquitous and it gets more advanced, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more things like this, because security is one of the things that you just sort of have to make a consideration when you're evaluating any sort of software. If you're going to put your own data into an app, whether it's on your computer, on your phone, or your tablet, when you do that, you should have some idea what's happening to that data. And I think that's one of the things that's been interesting to me lately about Apple events, is that they tell you sort of up front, here's this thing, and this is how much data we get about you as a result of that transaction, whatever it may be, you know, you entering data, you installing an app, whatever it is. And they are upfront about it. Here's what you know, here's what you get out of it, and here's what we get out of it. And a lot of times what Apple gets out of it is nothing. Which is part of why I'm much more comfortable with them than I am with some other companies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, Apple made a decision very early on in its kind of life, didn't it? That they were not going to be, they were going to be a high-end company. You spend a lot of money on the products, mm-hmm. but you are not the product.
Exactly.
We all know plenty of firms, and I think we're all thinking of the same companies who, in which the user is the product.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple, quite obviously, not just because it was making hardware and software, but quite obviously in its kind of DNA, if you like, takes the opposite approach to that.
Yes. And state that.
Correct. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that that's another one of those sort of trends that we've seen Apple get really comfortable with in the last few years that spreads to other companies that go out and do in-person events about end-user devices. And when they talk about whatever the new feature is or whatever the new app is or whatever, you know, thing it is that they're trying to debut at this press event, that they talk about, here's where, here's the security of it, here's what happens to your data, you know, or not, or whatever, and that it just becomes part of the feature list going forward. Because this is just one of those things where it sounds really intimidating, and if you get really deep into security, it can be really intimidating. I know just enough about security to know that I'm generally really intimidated by it, and that it doesn't take long before I'm over my head. And it's important, and it's a thing to consider. And you don't have to be able to write your own password manager as long as you have an awareness of what happens to the data you put in the one that you use.
I think you're making such an important point here, Kelly, because when you talk about security often being intimidating, and I've spoken to, you know, people who almost, it seemed to me, people in the industry to some degree that they kind of like the idea that the rest of us civilians don't understand security and we just need them. And actually, I think there's a really important place for people, and whether it's major firms like Apple or people from the security specific firms, to actually explain the technology to the end user. Mm-hmm. I think in the past, didn't care. I think now that's not true. And I think more and more people are concerned about what's happened to their data, are concerned what viruses, what attacks they may be exposing their devices to. And I think we've got to start opening up that conversation.
And I'm hoping to do so with things like this. Like, for example, this morning in the meeting when we were discussing topics for today, I said I always want to talk about a security thing because people need to know. So people are going to continue to know. So can watch this space, I guess, as they say. Right now, I want to talk about a couple of our sponsors this week. First sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. The right hire can make a huge impact, and that's why it's so important to find the right person. You can post a job on a job board and hope, but how often do you hang out on job boards? Don't leave finding someone great to chance. Post your job to a place where people go every day to make connections, grow in their careers, and discover job opportunities. LinkedIn. Most LinkedIn members haven't recently visited a job board, but 9 out of 10 are open to a new opportunity. And with 70% of the U.S. workforce on LinkedIn, posting on LinkedIn is the best way to get your job opportunity in front of more of the right people. So head on over to linkedin.com/TDO and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/TDO. Terms and conditions do apply. Our second sponsor today is Atlassian. Incidents are inevitable, and it all comes down to how your company responds. And getting timely alerts is critical, which is why there's Ops Genie by Atlassian. Ops Genie empowers dev teams and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during unplanned incidents. Teams have the power to respond quickly and efficiently to the right people, and those people get notified thanks to alerts from integrations with New Relic and Jira and hundreds more tools. Visit Ops Genie to sign up for a free company account and add up to 5 team members. That's OPSGENIE.com. Now, I want to talk about our next topic, which, Charlotte, this is something you brought up that I thought was kind of interesting, and that is the new shiny treadmill, I guess, with regards to Apple products. So Apple announced new phones. We got some of the new phones, and then a little while later, we got another of the new phones, and then we got new iPads and the new Apple Pencil to go with the new iPad, and we've got new laptops. And we've already started seeing the articles that are like, yeah, what's next, Apple? What have you done for me lately?
Right. And I think that's also not confined to hardware.
True.
One of the things I highlight on the site today and I've written up is there was actually a very interesting piece written over on Macworld about, you know, what's going to be in iOS 13. We got iOS 12 2 months ago. We've got 12.1. It's made a lot of improvements. They've fixed a couple of things. People are genuinely pretty happy with 12 and 12.1.
Now, didn't 12.1 give us group FaceTime? So we even got a new feature in iOS 12? I mean, it was announced, but officially released?
Sure. We'll be there. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's right. I think it is going to be in 12.1. And I think we've also got, I've done another story today that looks at did Apple tackle Beautygate camera issue. I've linked to a video that's really good on that today as well. And so some significant stuff is happening is my point, but already just a matter of days after these, like you say, quite significant releases, we're already seeing this. And I don't understand why we need this perpetual new shiny stuff. Now, maybe it's our fault as journalists that cover Apple. Maybe normal users are not thinking like that. That's entirely possible. I think it shows a kind of fundamental misunderstanding of Apple as a company. This is not a company that releases new big stuff every 6 months. That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a company that makes generally quite substantial upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fairly long product cycles.
Right. So we're not going to get a new phone until next year. We've just gotten a new laptop and a new desktop machine. And now we have the new iPad. And the iPad events seem to be a little more than a year between, if I'm remembering correctly. And so we know we're not going to get anything in the new, you know, in a new iPhone anytime soon. We're not going to get anything in an iPad anytime soon. We're not going to get anything in a computer anytime soon. So, mm-hmm. like you, I don't understand the speculation now.
But also, what do people want? This is what I don't understand. What? The Mac Mini, people wanted a Mac Mini
mm-hmm.
a significant period of time.
Years.
Exactly. Exactly. But when the new Mac Mini arrived, it had essentially overhauled, right? Now, people could make the point, well, that should have been an iteration before. We should have had it 2 years ago, whatever. I can understand that conversation. But the point is, this was a product that they... Apple took time and made a serious renovation of.
Mm-hmm. Which is what I give them credit for. I do wish it had been a year earlier than it had been. I'm one of those people. I had that conversation. But I really think that they did it when they got it right, which is why we haven't seen the air power, the charging mat. Like they announced it, but we haven't seen it yet because it's not ready yet. So it's on them that they announced it and didn't have it far enough along that they could give it to us sooner. But that's never been Apple's never been that company that just continues to crank out new hardware all the time, regardless of whether it's, you know, a phone or a computer or whatever. So I'm with you on this. I think it's mostly I'm frustrated by it because I feel like people who know Apple well enough to try to write an article about like what's going to be in the next version of iOS, for example, could better spend those brain cycles on something useful.
Yeah, and that's not to say these are not good suggestions. As you'll see in the piece, that there's actually some pretty deep things that we would probably all agree in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a dark mode, a smarter Siri, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Very sensible suggestions. But it's not happening before Christmas, is it? So, do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
This is not what's... That's not how the company operates. And you know what? We're probably as users will be better off for it. And also, these are not cheap products. Okay, the software side is slightly different, but who is going to buy a new MacBook Pro every year?
Mm-hmm.
Who could afford to do those kind of things? These are products designed to have a longer lasting life.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, at some point, I'm sure we will get into the discussion about how the mobile devices, the tablets and the phones, have also got longer cycles now because we've done sort of the fundamental level of evolution there. And so they're pretty fast and the battery's pretty great and there's a really good camera in it. In fact, I just was talking to my mom, who's about to go on a big trip, and I think she's going to be gone like 6 weeks on some sort of exotic world tour thing, and when I was talking to her, what?
Safe travels to Kelly's mom.
Well, thank you. I will let her know. And you know, and I was telling her, I know how long ago I bought you your digital camera, and I'm pretty sure that your iPhone is a higher megapixel camera than the one you want to carry with you. So just carry one thing and charge one thing. You know, and you don't need like extra sets of adapters for all these other countries because you have to charge two things. So just take I know you're going to take your phone anyway. So just use your phone to take your pictures and they're going to be better pictures than you're going to get with the camera. And, you know, and now that we've reached a point with that, I feel like, you know, the cycles there are longer as well. So we'll probably end up with that. Andrew, are you feeling upgrade fatigue yet? over the what's next now that we've just received new stuff on like every front?
Yeah, I mean, I think Charlotte raised a good point earlier where it's probably partially our fault because we're tech bloggers and, you know, we always have to find something new to write about to keep paying the rent. So we have this endless cycle of product announcement, product reviews, and then in between those, that's when the rumor mill is churning. Mm-hmm. And I had actually heard iOS 13 rumors earlier this year, like back in May.
I heard stuff about 13. Something. Yeah, I heard stuff about 13 before 12 had been announced at WWDC. And I remember just, I remember at that moment going, we're done. I have to call it. This cycle that starts the next one before the first one's been announced, like, that's too fast. I can't take it. I'm out. I really felt like I was going to have to give up because I feel like there's a lot of interesting stuff that we should be talking about instead, I think is where I'm headed. Like, there's a lot of new and a lot of interesting that we could be doing otherwise. Now, if these iOS 13 articles were coming out next spring, you know, maybe March, April, about what are we going to, you know, here's the kind of stuff we want to see in June. I would feel a little better about that, I think. So this just seems too fast. And instead, you know, why not an article that talks about refining some of the new stuff in iOS 12 and talk about here's how what we got in 12 could be better, as opposed to trying to speculate about something we're not going to get for another, what, 10 months, 8 months? Anyway. Yeah. I understand the need to chase the shiny and the new, but at the same time, I feel a little like you can only run on this treadmill so long and then you get tired.
Yeah, and it also forgets, you know, that the Mac operating system has had a very major upgrade, you know, very, very recently. This is, you can't exactly accuse Apple as a firm of staying still.
Exactly. And that's sort of, I think maybe that's what it is for me, is that that's implied in, like, we're done with 12, so let's talk about 13. Like, 12 wasn't a big enough deal on its own. Or, you know, let's talk about what comes after Mojave. But, like, Mojave was a pretty big deal in its own right. So maybe we should mine that a little bit more. I think that's part of where it comes from for me. But I'm always grumpy about, like, rumor mongering and all of that anyway. I've been that way forever. So I'm not the best person to talk to about. Let's pretend we know anything about what's coming in the middle of next year. So, I'm bad for that. But I'm sure we'll have more conversation about that. And I would like to have that conversation with all of you. You can write to observations@macobserver.com. And you can find us on Twitter at TMO Daily. I'd like to thank Charlotte for being here with us. Thanks, Charlotte.
Thanks so much for having me again.
And Andrew, thank you again, as always.
Thanks for having me.
And we will talk to all of you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.